From a warm spot in the cockles of my heart, in the darkest recesses of my mind, it's Joculation with your host, LB Faust. Joculation is an interactive social broadcast hosted by the cultural attaché to the SARS and ringmaster of the shit show himself, LB Faust. It features original satire, comedy, punk rock, and humorous bits every Friday night, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Mountain Time. That's 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. Eastern Time. To experience Joculation in its entirety, listen live on mspwaves.com or join the audience in the Circle of Intimacy on the Peace, Abundance, and Liberty Discord server every Friday night, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Mountain Time. Due to copyright restrictions, all segments which feature music from other artists and performers have been removed from this recording. On with the show.
See, that, kids, is how you start a Friday night, and we'll put a nearly dead Ric Flair in there just to make sure the soundboard's working. All right, here, my eardrums just got blown out. Hey, kids, it's Friday night, and it's Joculation. Before we jump into the show, we're going to help out our good friend Gabriel over here a second, because I know you can't necessarily, like, immediately jump into, you know, like Pornhub or something like that. Put a couple of, like, soundtracks in the background just to offend your neighbors. So I thought we'd do something a little religious because I thought Normok might be here and something that just might help you out with a fantastic hit from Kill the Band called God Wants You to Come. Look at you, man. A bunch of freaking Puritans over here. Say, are you sure you're at the right show? I'm just wondering, are they sure that they, Carlos, do you think they're at the right show here? I mean, oh my God. They're like,
No.
Getting pretentious about a freaking religious song that was played in church last Sunday. I'm just saying, man, the title of this couldn't be holier than you could have been. What are you guys doing here? Oh, Jesus Christ, man. All right, let's get back to the show, shall we? What do we think? Should we get back to
this? How about new?
All right, listen, kids, it's Friday night. This was going to be a Halloween show. I thought I was prepared, and I'm just curious. Did we get prepared for this show?
How about new?
It was funny because somewhere during the week it was mentioned, LP was saying he was at 50% or something 2 weeks ago. I mean, what was he talking about? Let me tell you something. I'm sitting here saying to you, I was at like 50% like energy. I was working hard to go ahead and actually hit the quota of energy expenditure, and I was in a freaking deficit over there. What can I say? Important things we got to cover here, kids. There's a lot of upcoming events that we got to take care of, right? We got Halloween over here, so be sure to go ahead and engage in all your heathen ways. Eat a shitload of candy. Do all the bad things, the things that Normok would go ahead and make him proud. You know what I'm saying? But shortly after that, we come into the month of November, and there are some very important freaking events that we need to go ahead and look at in November. Yes, there's Thanksgiving, the Day of Gluttony, and all that stuff for us in America, but worldwide, we have to come together for a very important celebration that occurs on November the 23rd. No, it's not LP's birthday. It's Wolf Newt, kids. We need to go ahead and come together for Wolf Newt. If you're wondering what in the hell is Wolf Newt, I mean, you're sitting there going, dude, come on now.
What the fuck?
What is Wolf Newt, LP? I went ahead and found a resource because it's a fantastically wonderful holiday that's all about dogs and all kinds of love and things of that nature. And what you need to do is you got to go onto that Wolf Newt site. This was created by a 7-year-old kid. Very important holiday. Very important holiday to celebrate. And shortly after that, November the 26th, Black Friday, will there be a show that evening? I'm just kind of
wondering. How about new?
Because why? Because LP's birthday is on Black Friday. Because, you know. No, that was the wrong one. Let's try this one.
I like money.
There we go. It's on Black Friday. And then shortly after that, we have a very important thing that just goes to show you that my birthday was divinely inspired because on November 30th, we're celebrating St. Andrew's Day. And you're probably asking yourself, what in the hell is St. Andrew's Day, LP? St. Andrew's Day is Scotland's winter festival. And effectively what it is it's the patron saint of whiskey. And kids, let me tell you, get out your fucking glasses. Do the things you need to. Do God's work, kids. Get out there. Drink your damn whiskey like a good kid. You know, 2 doses of whiskey a day keeps the doctor away or some shit like that. At least that's what I seem to recall back when I was going ahead and doing my, like, you know, Sunday school studies and shit like that. Something like that. You know what I'm saying? Risky click of the day. And listen, if you guys don't believe me, anarchist, you can just go ask Krim. She knows all about friggin' Wolfnude, okay? And I'll bet you, with the two dogs that she's got, especially the recent addition, Wolfnude will be widely celebrated in the Clad household that evening. I don't know. I can't vouch for Crimson Clad, but you can ask her yourself at some point during this evening. So, you know, funny, weird shit's going on, of course, during the week. It's been like 2 weeks. It's been a minute since LP's come on the stage here and actually done a live show. You know what I'm saying? Because, is life cooperating at all with us right now?
No.
Of course not. But I'll tell you what, as I'm sitting over there, I'm hearing like, you know, over, what was it, 2 weeks ago, all of a sudden, like, out of nowhere, Mark Zuckerfuck's website just kind of imploded because people don't understand DNS files. And I mean, hey, does LP understand DNS files, Carlos? I'm just wondering.
No.
Of course I don't. But you know what? I can sit there and laugh at the stupidity of people that knock out Facebook for like about a fucking 6 hour stint or something like that. So I'm hearing now there might be an opening on the dev team at Facebook after, you know, I kind of like shit the bed for like 6 hours. And I understand that, like, High Chancellor Zuckerberg was shouting instructions in the phone and hit squats were being assembled. You know what I'm saying?
What the fuck?
The best part is I was just waiting. I was waiting for V to show up on his fucking screen and the Guy Fawkes mask to address the Facebook community while broadcasting from the emergency back door for illegal government snooping. You know, sitting there saying, "Good evening, London." And I would have been like, "Bro, hey, listen, where's the revolution? Because I need to be a part of it." You know what I'm saying? Because holy fucking shit. But you know something, kids? In this age of like made up celebrities and disposable freaking tampon celebrity types and all that stuff, you know what's the greatest part is? We can never let a fucking tragedy and disaster go without some kind of way of monetizing it, thanks to the wonderful world of social media out there, because you know, kids.
I like money.
So at any rate, what winds up happening in this weird, crazy, odd, strange time that we're living in here right around fucking, right around Halloween? Well, I come across somebody who is an influencer I think we need to bring over to Hive, right? Her name is Evan Bailey Sarian, and she's the host of Murder, Mystery, and Makeup. You know what I'm saying there, kids?
I mean, what the fuck?
That's the person we need, because if you know anything about the freaking wonderful world of what used to be Steam and now is Hive, everybody that was making any money at one point was doing stupid fucking makeup tutorials, right? And I mean, why not, right? It's like zero effort. But the coolest part about this one is her reviewers love to see her go from no makeup to full glam in every episode of the series. But what they're really tuning in for are the aberrant, heartbreaking, and morbid stories of true crime and urgent legend as relayed by Sarian while she applies a full face of glamorous makeup. That's right,
kids.
I mean,
kids. What the fuck?
Why go ahead and sit there and just apply makeup on when you can talk about somebody getting fucking knifed in the gut and filleted wide open as you're delicately applying your false eyelashes on your eyes? You know, trying to go ahead and hold back the tears as you're watching the fucking money counter just cling further and further and further. It's like a fucking slot machine. As you're sitting there going ahead and making millions off of everybody else's tragedy while putting on makeup, because that goes ahead and conveys the seriousness that we're looking for. You know what I'm saying?
Whoa!
Of course. That's why we need to go ahead and have a nearly dead Ric Flair. But before her freelance career in makeup, a trajectory that involved being a cashier and a cast member at a Sephora, working at Urban Decay, and assisting makeup artists like Jill Powell on her music videos, such as Demi Lovato's Cool for Summer, and commercials, she was a little girl whose mother was a 9/11 dispatcher, an emergency dispatcher, who sometimes brought her along to work. And you've got to ask yourself, listen.
I mean, what the fuck?
Let me say something. Bring your kid to work day, I don't think should necessarily apply to a fucking 9/11 operator. Taking some instructions over the phone or listening to somebody fillet their girlfriend in the fucking background, or, I don't know, bounce her head off of a few counters and stuff like that. But I might be a little extreme, you know what I'm saying?
Did I make myself clear?
Uh-huh.
Because I am not going to write this shit down.
But I digress. She said, I wanted to go. It was fascinating for me. Once, she was given a headset of headphones so she could listen to the incoming calls. What a fucking childhood. I can just go ahead and just imagine those memorable moments captured over in some sort of, like, I don't know, therapy sessions like down the road or some shit like that. You know what I'm saying, kids?
I mean, what the fuck?
I know, but I digress. I've heard from a lot of people before they started to watch that automatically they thought, oh my God, this is the most disrespectful trash I'll ever see. You know, I couldn't imagine why. But then they watch and they're like, oh, okay, I get what she was trying to do. So, you know, the way I'm looking at it is you're listening to this shit and it's probably about as comfortable as like the doctor doing the jelly finger prostate exam while calmly discussing in his bubbly voice his big brother's gig as a plumber and his true life stories of like cleaning blockages and septic tanks and shit. It's about equivalent is what I'm saying. You know what I'm talking about? So we have this person over here talking about that, making millions off of this stuff because disposable celebrities got to monetize everybody else's misery somehow. You know what I'm talking about there? I mean, hey. Now, listen, it's not Ric Flair walking down the aisle doing a helicopter dick while he's opening his robe, doing his strut to his, like, you know, freaking entrance music in the WWE. But we do have some makeup being applied, and there's a little bit of glam going on out there. You know what I'm saying? But now, kids, we haven't gone far enough, right? We have got to really go ahead and reach out and get that fucking misery counter going up there really high so we can create some new disposable celebrities. I mean, why not just go ahead and wrap your arms around the tragedy of, like, Gabby Petito and just brand yourself a psychic on TikTok and start going ahead and giving prophecies about, you know, her killing and potentially theorizing about it. So psychic TikTok, where self-proclaimed mediums and spirit guides are vying for viral attention, it's under fire because some psychics began spreading conspiracy theories about the killing of the 22-year-old Gabby Petito. I mean, let me tell you something, kids.
Fuck you, fucking fuckers.
God. Listen, fucking TikTok, you trash heap, you repository of shit. Given that her body's been discovered, I got a question. Hey, Carlos, were any of these people right?
I'm just... No.
Yeah, these fucking, like, psychics that couldn't psychic themselves out of a fucking paper bag and go ahead and tell me what the weather's going to be tomorrow with any reliable indicator. I'm not talking about life-changing events here, man. Tell me if it's going to fucking rain tomorrow. Tell me if I got to package up something. Tell me if I got to... No, can't go ahead and get a single thing right. I'm just saying, man, but I digress. Why not make a couple $1 million off of some fucking person's misery and death over here? Because, I mean, it's not like you gotta be right. You've already monetized her death on like 18 million fucking commercials before her body was discovered. You know what I'm saying? But I digress.
I mean, what the fuck?
Let's get back to it. And by the way, Ron, this is how you rant, brother. You don't rant about a bunch of nonsense stuff. People are tired of listening to all the bad stuff. They want entertainment like this. We've got to distill the news down over here into the kind of shit that everybody's looking for. That's why they're picking up all these rags over in the grocery aisle while they're waiting to go ahead and get checked out. You know what I'm saying? It's human nature, man.
How about news?
But I digress. Let's talk about these corpse fuckers here for a second. So, TikTok videos about Petito's disappearance using the hashtag GabbyPetito have amassed 820 million TikTok views in total. Let me just say that again. 820 million fucking TikTok views because of you fucking corpse fuckers out there. But hey, you know what? You're monetizing. So a TikTok search for medium Gabby Petito, an auto-filled search term recommended by the fucking app, delivers dozens of self-professed psychics weighing in on what's happening now in homicide investigations. And I'm just like, dude.
I mean, what the fuck?
Can we go ahead and get these fucktards over here to maybe go ahead and psychic up where the hell Qua is in his whale moan room over in some chatterbait world? Oh, hi, Qua. You're here. Good to see you. We don't need to go ahead and actually get a freaking TikTok psychic over here because you're in the room, at least for now. Maybe partially, but not really, right? Something like that. While creators have been facing backlash from viewers who call their content exploitative, some interviewed by The Insider said they're just working to raise awareness. Yeah, I'm sure you are. Raise your fucking bank account, maybe. But many psychics aren't spreading awareness about the facts of Petito's case. Do say so what? Are you kidding me? I can't believe for a second.
Fuck you, fucking fuckers!
For a second that you'd be going ahead and spreading misinformation and not putting any facts into there. What in the fuck are you talking about, dude? This is TikTok, right? This isn't like fucking Unsolved Mysteries or something like that. But at any rate, and even their theories are baseless and proved to be untrue, but they keep going to the tune of millions of views. And I ask myself, dude, I must have made a serious vocational error. You know what I'm saying? I should go into the TikTok fucking medium world and start making psychic predictions about shit that'll never happen. And kids, let me tell you something, okay?
Did I make myself clear?
Uh-huh.
Because I am not going to write this shit down.
I think we need to get these garbage psychics over inside of here. Have them bring some of their people over. Because while I enjoy Splinterlands, we need some more of this trash heap to go ahead and bring eyes over in here. To go ahead and carry these heavy bags that we've all got. Because, you know, I'm thinking about us. I'm thinking about doing the right thing here, right? I'm thinking about spreading awareness, much like they are. Because, you know, nothing captures the essence of the phrase empty money-grubbing corpse fucker fame whore with zero human empathy quite like a bunch of psychic channelers building circus sideshow performance content around the tragic death of a daughter. I mean, shit, at that time, the FBI wasn't even releasing her body to the family. But, you know, I suppose having a term autofill in the search bar at the top of an app totally designed to develop and exploit disposable celebrities, I mean, it might be a step for the worse, but, you know, who am I? I'm probably being fucking critical here, you know what I'm saying? But, so Kelly Ferraro said she was having visions about Petito and Brian Laundry last Thursday. The practicing medium from Illinois filmed a TikTok in a gray crop top outside her house to hypothesize about Laundry's role in his once-fiancé's disappearance and share baseless theories about what happened to Petito. And we've all got a question, right? Hey, is this TikTok psychic correct at all? I'm just kind of wondering.
No.
Of course not, man. But, you know, let's be real. Maybe I'm being a little bit too critical over here, right? I mean, you can't invoke the phrase corpse fucker without instantly assuming the conversation involves either Dr. Phil or Dog the Bounty Hunter, am I right? I mean, dude. And speaking of which, if we invoke the name corpse fucker, who should come? No, not Normock. It's fucking Dog the Bounty Hunter, who took a break from his filming to go ahead and try and join the search for Brian Laundry. And I got a question for you, Dog. Hey, corpse fucker, how did that one go? I'm just saying, right? Seems to me you weren't sitting there when they fucking discovered his body earlier this week. But I digress. We're jumping ahead. We'll get into that, right? We'll get into that. So back in September, this reality star, Dwayne Chapman, the Dog Bounty Hunter bullshit, best known for that, says he joined the search for Gabby Petito's fiancé, Brian Laundry, after the 22-year-old Petito's remains were discovered in the Wyoming Bridger-Teton National Forest on September 19th, which, at that time, the coroner ruled her death a suicide. Say it isn't so. Say it isn't so. A homicide. I need to speak to the father, he told the Daily Mail, which, by the way, is a reputable news source that you can find in any supermarket checkout counter over there, always going ahead and distilling down the important news you need to know about how Bigfoot has been fucking Hillary Clinton. And the side, you know, things like that, important shit. As he banged on Laundry's door in front of the cameras, I need to ask him where his son is. Is he in there? I'm chasing several leads. We've got a lot of leads. I can tell you more, but we're getting leads like every 10 minutes. Do we believe that for just any fucking second?
How about new?
Of course not, man, but whatever. Indeed, he reportedly set up a dedicated phone line. The phone line number in the event that you feel compelled to drop a bunch of bullshit leads and keep the investigation alive, even though the FBI has closed it, is 833-TELL-DOG. For information about Laundry Chapman shared that he's given himself like 6 weeks to find the 23-year-old. And, hey, Dog the Bounty Hunter, in those 6 weeks, did you succeed in your fucking mission to go ahead and find this dude? Huh?
How about new?
No, but I'm sure you got a lot of PR for your latest and greatest series that you got over on who knows what, like the Home Fucking Shopping Network or something like that, right? That's what I'm saying out there because, hey, Dog, good job. Go being a corpse fucker and getting everybody's go ahead and race over and make you relevant for about 5 seconds on the death of somebody's daughter.
Did I make myself clear?
Uh-huh.
Because I am not going to write this shit down.
And I'm wondering, right, did this fucking hotline that he went ahead and set up, did he have like the same success that like Rudy Giuliani had when he put his election fraud hotline up there? And it was inundated with thousands of dick pics and animal porn, according to the book that came out. I'm just saying, most likely he got all that shit over there. So if you remember back in the day when Rudy Giuliani went ahead and decided, hey, I got a great idea. Let's go ahead and crowdsource this shit and channel the power of the fucking people to help us do this investigation. That's
how about new?
Yeah, not a lot of help. So according to this book, a hotline that the former New York mayor Rudy Giuliani set up to document instances of purported election fraud in the 2020 race drew in, quote, thousands of dick pics and animal pornography, according to Landslide, the final days of the Trump presidency by Michael Wolff. Now, the hotline was meant to receive reports that someone had seen or might have seen or knew that someone else had seen, including allegations of dead voters, double names, machine malfunctions, and far deeper conspiracy theories. But, kids, what in fact actually happened? Well, lots more came tumbling in. You know, thousands of dick pics, animal porn, virulent screeds, with nearly everybody who was manning the phones begging for other duties. And
I mean, what the fuck?
Oh my God, could you get me off this phone? Because I've had like 18 dick pics in the past 20 minutes. And look at these two goddamn gorillas going at it right in front of all the kids over at the zoo. I mean, what the fuck are you doing
fuck
to me?
You fucking fuckers!
Dude, that was just absolutely terrible. But you know what would have been even better, right? Is could you imagine if all of a sudden somewhere in the neighborhood, like Brian Landry just kind of like stumbled out, kind of like this dude over in the freaking, over in Turkey, went missing and the search party came together and he kind of joined the search party looking for him without anybody knowing that he was there. So like, it would have been fucking great if Brian Landry just suddenly shows up like that out of nowhere, like fucking magic. You know what I'm saying?
Did I make myself clear? Because I am not going to write this shit down.
So search and rescue teams in Turkey were looking for in the Bursa region for a man who was reported missing. The friends of this dude and an area of residents joined in this massive manhunt while another person stood linked up in the search party, the man missing himself. Once people started calling his name out, he came forward and asked, who are we looking for? I'm here.
Who the fuck thinks this is popcorn time?
Dude, it's the greatest. But you know something? In this fucking age of monetizing everything, I think Landry actually fucking missed his calling. I think he missed his real opportunity. His opportunity wasn't when he was with Gabby Petito. His opportunity was after that she went ahead and died, and this whole thing happened. I mean, I was expecting another one of the great corpse fuckers of the world like Dana White, you know, who allegedly never met a wife beater he didn't want to fight in the UFC. You know, like Greg Hardy, John Jones, until he suddenly found fucking Jesus with Luis Pena beating his wife to practical death over here, right? But he liked to exploit this tragedy in, like, true textbook corpse fucking capitalism fashion. You know what I'm saying, right? Like, why don't we go ahead and have Greg Hardy and him do a QVC cross promo with the ghost of Billy Mays for, like, the next UFC unforgettable undercard event that he's going to get involved with? It would go something like this, right? Hi, this is Greg Hardy and Brian Landry for Billy Mays. Sometimes when that pimpan needs to be strong with the old lady to get her back in line, bloodstains in the carpet can be a real problem. With an average response time of the police domestic violence emergency calls about 10 minutes, only the combined power of OxyClean and ShamWow can lift those stubborn bloodstains to give you plausible deniability to spin a web of bullshit to keep you free from prison. Greg Hardy, Brian Landry, OxyClean. See, something like that right there would have been fucking fantastic. That would have been the corpse fucking capitalism I would have expected to have happen. Or better yet, he could go ahead and do something with John Jones, do a QVC crossover with him, and, you know, for his great, like, UFC heavyweight fight. Hi, this is John Jones and Brian Landry for Pimp Hand Concealer. When that pimp hand needs to be exceptionally strong and she needs to be in line while lying to the police, you need a concealer that'll hide all that discoloration and bruising from your recent spousal abuse. That's why you need Pimp Hand Concealer. Act now and get a complimentary separate hotel room key and a matching set of Christmas courthouse footy pajamas. I mean, see, kids, that's what I'm expecting. I'm not expecting, like, Dog the fucking Bounty Hunter to show up pounding on the fucking doors, pretending like he actually gives a shit and is going to go ahead and do something. I want to see some naked, disgusting capitalism here. And, I mean, now that everybody's remains have been found, you know what's going to wind up happening. You're going to probably go ahead and have disgusting capitalism occur. Maybe what they'll do is take the remains and, like, send it to this jeweler who uses dead people's teeth, ashes, and hair to make jewelry. I'm just like,
I mean, what the fuck?
Hey, I got a question for you, anarchist. Why are you Aussies all fucking weird like this? She's from Melbourne, Australia, and she does this shit. So she's the owner of Grave Metallum Jewelry. Her name is Jackie Willem. She's 29. She sells rings, bracelets, and necklaces that incorporate human remains, be it teeth, hair, ash, or even a loved one's IUD. I'm just going to say that again, dude.
I mean, what the fuck?
A loved one's IUD. And you got to ask yourself, bro, where did you fucking go wrong? So at any rate, quote, I incorporate teeth into anything a client requests and that can be made out of metal. I do this work because I want to help people deal with their grief and loss. And it's something that's guaranteed for every living thing. My most memorable request. All right, kids, here we go. Hold on a second. Let me just put the...
Anybody having fun around here? Anybody think that this is popcorn time?
My most memorable requests have been, I've been asked, are using an IUD in a piece of jewelry, in which I declined due to it being plastic, and turning the bullet casing from the bullet that a client's grandfather shot himself with into a piece of jewelry. And...
I mean, what the fuck?
What the fuck are you doing, dude? What are you fucking doing? Hey, so your grandfather shot himself in the head? That would make a pretty killer ring, brother. I think we should go ahead and bring it over here. And, you know, I'll melt it down. And we'll make sure it's a memento that you can carry with you forever so you can remember and be traumatized by that event every day going forward. I mean, what do you say? Dude.
How about new?
What the fuck are you doing? So, at any rate, in the event that you find yourself in a position where you two would like to go ahead and take a bullet that somebody shot themselves in the head with that you loved and cared about tremendously, or maybe you've got, like, you know, a metallic IUD instead of a freaking plastic one, you can go over to, like, Grave Metallum Jewelry over here, and you can order up your own ring because, dude, the holidays are coming quick. And if you're out of ideas for Christmas gifts and stuff like that, maybe what you can do is get some custom jewelry made just from the departed, the deceased person's, like, leftovers, whatever's left of them, and you too can have a memorable token to walk around with. Remember mom deeply, and you can bring a vial of her ashes, the what's left over of her IUD, to your next, like, you know, Tinder date, just like we learned a couple weeks back over here. And, yeah, mom can check her out, too, and be part of the conversation. But, you know, kids, listen. No worries, right? Because in the end, when the civil lawsuit comes to light and Brian Laundrie's parents need to pay out because they're not going to go to jail. Let's be real here. The ultimate corpse fucker of them all. The apex predator at the top of the pyramid. Zach Bagans himself and his fucking haunted museum. You know, they're going to stop by to purchase the van and park it right next to Kevorkian's van over inside of that thing. And at the end of the day, maybe they'll devise, like, a new Halloween challenge, a Wars challenge around it because, I mean, corporatism, man. Corporatism. All right, man, I'm worn out because all of this talking of corpse fuckers has worn me out. And, you know, feel free to peruse through all the dead people's stuff made into jewelry over there while I take a break here. Hey, kids, I'm LP Faust. I'm your host, cultural attaché to the stars, ringmaster of the shit show on this weird fucking Friday evening because... We're just all asking ourselves the same question, right?
I mean, what the fuck?
Dude, I'm confused. You're listening to Jocculation. See, look at that. We got a little bit of Alkaline Trio inside there. So, hey, how did that slip in there? I have no fucking idea. Hey, kids, it's Friday night. It's Jocculation. We got the Circle of Intimacy, and we're talking about weird shit tonight here.
One of us, okay? That's one of us. Google gobble, yeah. One of us. We accept that one of us. Google gobble, one of us. We accept that one of us.
I mean, what's the over-under that it could possibly get any more weird? You know what I'm saying there? I mean, Normok tunes in for this shit. Otherwise, you know, big disappointment and stuff. I'm just saying.
Aww.
And we don't want to disappoint. We're here to go ahead and have fun. It's a Friday night because it's a Zero Fucks Friday, just like it is every other Friday that we come here. And I can't believe it. We've actually almost, just from that first segment, gone through half the show. And that's when you've got to ask yourself, I guess we got to hurry up, huh, LP? I don't know, man. We'll have to go ahead and see. We got to ease into this stuff. We're not at the Richard Cheese section yet. That's for later. We have to go ahead and put that out there because we have to let Krim know when she needs to leave for a little while, right? So there you go. All right, so we talked about weird shit. We talked about the Brian Landry thing. A bunch of corpse fuckers that are trying to go ahead and, you know, become fame whores over somebody else's death and shit like that. And then we got the jewelry person, which you two can go ahead and order, like, I don't know, that bullet that you went ahead and may have collected from somebody's suicide in your family, or maybe the drug syringe. Don't worry. They're going to go ahead and actually make you wonderful jewelry out of that so that you can remember that tragedy forever and just let the trauma continue to go on and on and on. You know what I'm sitting there saying? I know you do.
How dare you?
So at any rate, kids, where can we possibly go with this? Well, remember, we talked that it's like maybe a 40-60 show with Halloween and all the things that are going on out there, right? All these weird things with people wanting to go ahead and do shit to their bodies in a permanent way. You know, like that fucktard that was over inside of like a little Uzi or whatever. Remember little Uzi, our good friend who went ahead and had this great idea to start off this whole body modification shit to go and jam a $24 million diamond into his fucking forehead like nothing was going to happen, right? Well, apparently Lil Uzi went ahead and had like a little problem and somebody, I don't know, maybe ripped the fucking diamond out of his forehead.
I mean, what the fuck?
Because, I mean, who couldn't see that one coming from like 18,000 fucking miles away? So like back in February, this Grammy-nominated jackass on a video on Instagram decided to show off this massive pink diamond because apparently real men wear pink that he shoved into his fucking forehead one evening. And at the time, he also gave his followers a look at the sparkling new stone and videos on his Instagram story as well so that they could make plans to become rich one day when they ripped that shit the fuck out of his head. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Did I make myself clear?
Uh-huh.
Because I am not going to write this shit down.
At any rate, we don't want to ruin a good story here. So while attending the reopening of the 18th anniversary party of like Jay-Z's 40 40 Club in New York City last weekend, the 26-year-old idiot decided to speak with TMZ because that's where I would go to humiliate the fuck out of myself, maybe there in TikTok. And of course, why do when you could do both like he did, right? So he's on the red carpet and he decided to reveal that fans shockingly ripped the pink diamond out of his forehead when he drove into a crowd at the Rolling Loud Music Festival in July. We're fucking shocked. You know what I'm saying?
How dare you?
How could you possibly sit there and wouldn't it be great if it was like a cubic zircon? Zircon? That would be awesome. I had a show at the Rolling Loud and I jumped into the crowd and they kind of ripped it out. But I'm feeling good. I still have the diamond, so I feel good. You gotta ask yourself,
I mean,
dude,
what the fuck?
Dude, what the fuck is wrong with you? They ripped that shit out of my head. I sent my bouncers in to get that diamond because, fuck it, I could bleed to death before that motherfucker takes my $24 million diamond. Because, I don't know, you have to go ahead and do something stupid like that. Like the thing everybody's been talking about over inside the chat room about this fucking idiot that decided, hey, why go ahead and stick a diamond in your head when you can fucking surgically implant a bunch of like gold chains as your goddamn hair inside of your head?
I mean, what the fuck?
Because nobody's gonna rip that out of my scalp, right? I mean, would anybody fucking rip that shit out of his scalp? I think so. I mean, so the 23-year-old Reggaeton, whatever the fuck his name is, over in Mexico, flaunted his golden and jeweled locks that replaced his natural brown hair and matched his diamond-encrusted grilled teeth. He posted a TikTok video of himself off his golden hair while brushing his expensive and sparkly grill. I have it as a hook that's implanted in my head, and a hook has hooks, so they all hooked under my skull, motherfucker. The first rapper to have gold hair implanted in human history. And let me tell you something, dude. I'm looking forward to seeing this fucking rapper get scalped. We don't need no fucking Native Americans, man. Somebody in his posse at one of his shows is going to drag his ass over there, and they're just going to scalp his dew off of his head. And I'll tell you what, that will be primetime fucking television in a way that, like, you know,
that's a scam.
In a way that everybody can fucking appreciate. You know what I'm saying? But I'll say this, right? You sit here with your shit going ahead and like putting all this stupid stuff in your fucking hair, trying to become relevant, trying to show how awesome you are, what a fucking man you are, that you're the shit, trying to generate this name. I'll tell you what, guys, I'm not impressed. You want to know why? All right, listen. I will be impressed for the first rapper that decides to go ahead and do the Sergey Vanoff special. You know who Sergey Vanoff is, right? It's the doctor who sewed monkey testicles into men to boost their sex lives and fucking lifespans.
I mean, what the fuck?
Hey, rappers, where the fuck are you at now? I don't want to see your pink diamond in your head. I don't want to go ahead and fucking see gold hair, the golden chains for your fucking hair. I want to see you get monkey testicles sewed into your scrot. That's what I want to see. Then I'll go ahead and sit there and say, that man deserves some fucking attention. So Sergey Vanoff, he was a Russian-born Frenchman, and that in and of itself is a very confusing statement. He carried out his grisly work in the early 20th century and became known as the monkey gland expert. Dude, let me tell you, that should be carved on his fucking tombstone, because that, kids, that would be something that you need to be immortalized for. But thanks to his research on testosterone, but specifically testicles, he was the ball specialist. Bro, let me tell you. In a newspaper in the 1920s, he also boldly proclaimed that people could live to be 140, three times the average life expectancy, if only they inserted a bunch of monkey testicles into their scrot. And I'm one man of 85 found that his heart strengthened. He could walk better. His mind was cleaner. His mind was keener. Bald-headed men have been delighted to find that they're growing a new crop of hair. This operation is a fairly smoke one. The recovery's easy. Very healthy animals are chosen. They're given an anesthetic and various glands are removed. And when the operation was first introduced, only one gland was grafted from the monkeys. The sex gland, meaning their testicles, kids. Now, they perfected the operation and three other glands are grafted. The thyroid, the pituitary, and the adrenal gland. Because what could fucking possibly go wrong? So critics who once said it would make men grow like monkeys now realize how absurd this statement is.
I mean, now, what the fuck?
Most people are probably looking at him saying, you know, it's real easy to sit there, chop a bunch of shit up, start sewing some shit onto other people and all that stuff. Bro, let me tell you, until you actually do this shit and show me that you're going to live, I'm not interested. Well, he created a serum he dubbed the Brown Sicard Elixir. It was a mixture of crushed up guinea pig and dog testicles, which he injected into himself. And he told the Société de Biologie in Paris that the disgusting glop had increased his mental and physical powers, strengthened his urine flow, and most importantly, improved his ability to evacuate his bowels. Let me tell you, kids, that is a serum. This man is a forward thinker. Think about it. He was the Gwyneth Paltrow Goop Labs before that was even a concept in his time, because I'll tell you what, dude, everybody talks shit about how forward-thinking like Elon Musk is, well, brilliant fucking Mark Zuckerfuck is, and all that shit. Hey, listen, nobody thought about bullshit surgeries and nonsensical shit like vag candles, eggs that you shove up inside your vajayjay so that you can go ahead and line your fucking chakras, or, I don't know, inject crushed guinea pig and dog testicles into your eyeballs so that you too can become like the healthiest, most suave and debonair dude. And I'll tell you what, for those guys that are sitting there saying, well, LP, what if I go ahead and actually get this shit sewn onto my nutsack? What am I going to do, especially if I'm a rap star? Where am I going to perform? Well, kids, you can use your newfound power with all of this virility to go perform at Seattle's Premier Men's Jackoff Club, which we covered 2 weeks ago. Never forget, kids, you too can go ahead and be the feature act over at Rain City Jacks, where you can jack off in a circle of men where there's strict rules of no oral sex, no anal sex, and there's allegedly nothing gay going on over there. So, kids, please, lay off all the body modifications for a little bit. It would be very unfortunate to see you become E.T. with an extra testicle that some chimpanzee could have used to go ahead and, I don't know, get his rocks off going after, like, his girlfriend over on the freaking yard. And instead, you're taking all his fun away because, well, you're chasing your youth. Can we just go ahead and grow old gracefully? I'm just asking for a friend.
How about new?
Yeah, I thought not. All right, kids, I'm going to take a break here because it's only going to get weirder. It's only going to get weirder. All right, so I'm LP Faust. I'm your host, cultural attaché to the stars, ringmaster of the shit show this evening. Maybe you're listening to Joculation. Let's hope so. Nothing like the screaming of women in punk groups to go ahead and just let us know, wow, we're here together, we're alive, and we're having another episode of Joculation on a Friday night. You know what I'm saying over here? We got our circle of intimacy going with some strange stories this evening.
One of us, cool gobble, one of us, we accept that one of us, cool gobble, one of us, we accept that one of us.
I mean, shit, we're talking about taking loved ones and turning them into jewelry. We're talking about, you know, corpse fucker, fame whores. We're talking about all kinds of wonderful things this evening. And I'll tell you what, before we get into some more weird shit, hey, Ron, I got to give you some props. This is actually working this time. Not like the other 15 fucking times. Or how about that moment earlier this week when I attempted to do some, like, pirate radio? I mean, we remember that moment, don't we? Probably not. Hey, Carlos, you think anybody remembers that moment?
No.
Yeah, I don't think so, because we were all by ourselves watching this thing just absolutely shit the bed and go on fire. It was like somebody went ahead and took a bunch of leftover craft products over here from some, like, elementary school craft project and put some duct tape on them and a little bit of, like, Elmer's glue and said, we can do it. We can fucking do it. And then, of course, you know, Mr. Flawless, he comes out to me and he says, bro, everybody else is using it flawlessly. Must be user error. Yeah, that's why they couldn't fucking hear the program 2 weeks ago, dude. But it's okay. We're better now. We're stronger. We're here. We've got a fucking station that's working for right now. So we'll just roll with it. You know what? We'll forget about those days of pirate radio that were so stressful and didn't quite work out. Listen, man, as much as I give Ron shit about when the station burns to the ground and shit, I got to say this much. He is fucking dedicated to making this thing work in a way that is, in some ways, pathological. But you know what? If it wasn't for the shit that he does and the time that he puts in on the station and all the shit that he does behind the scenes, I'll tell you what, we wouldn't have a station. We wouldn't all be sitting here eating shit, having fun, listening to these weird stories, and hoping to God that we can hear the moment that one of LP's vocal cords pops on the air with all of this ranting and shit like that. You know what I'm saying? So it's these magical moments, kids, these magical moments that mean so much to us. And Ron, hey.
That's a scam!
Do me a favor. Keep trying to keep the station alive, all right, brother? Ron's like, fuck you, man. I'm busy going ahead and playing like Splinterlands. I can't be bothered with your fucking show. I know, man. I know. But, you know, it's the thought that matters. It keeps my cockles warm. He's already disappeared. All right, kids, what are we talking about now? That's a great segue into freaking NFTs and shit like that. Because you know something? There's some weird shit going on out there. The concept of what art is has changed a little bit. And what's become collectible and stuff. You know, some people like to do NFTs. Some people like to go ahead and just like he made chili. Some people like to do NFTs, some people like to do sculpture, and some people probably shouldn't be doing art at all, because when you're trying to capture the essence of what is Princess Diana in a sculpture, and you do something like this that looks like fucking Elton John, you should probably go ahead and maybe not go ahead and do that. You know what I'm saying there?
How about new?
So, apparently, there's a Princess Diana clown, a scarecrow, that looks more like Elton John, according to a bunch of Reddit users. So a questionable scarecrow of Princess Diana has been mocked by Reddit users for looking nothing like the royal, because do we really give a shit about the fucking royal herself?
How about new?
No, man, you're just another, like, Kardashian, just with an English accent. But I digress, man. Let's go ahead and continue. A site user posted a picture of the scarecrow, supposedly of the people's princess, next to a picture of the deceased royal with the caption, "My dad's village has an annual scarecrow festival. This is Princess Diana." And of course, it doesn't take long for the trolls to come out, right? One responds, of course, it looks more like Elton John. Another responded, are you sure it's not Elton John with a picture of Lady Di? Because another Reddit user swore the scarecrow was a spitting image of ladies' man Austin Powers and looked every bit as groovy as the spy's catchphrase. Others ridiculed the maker's efforts that she looked like she had let herself go a bit and looked more like Princess Terrifying. Hey, listen, man, all I can say is, as much as Bear Bear is real good stuff, by the way, I like that stuff. Ethiopian food is really killer. But I digress, man. Let me get back to this. So all I got to say is, man, think of yourself when you're a performing artist or an artist or whatever as the man in the arena, right? Kind of like what Teddy Roosevelt said. Dude, everybody's got an opinion, right? Because opinions are cheap. But you're not down there subjecting yourself to it. So you know what? Fuck off. Fuck off. So, you know, maybe it would have been better had they gone ahead and actually turned around and, I don't know, made an NFT out of it. Because what's collectible nowadays is pretty fucking weird. You know, you got all kinds of stuff. It started with baseball cards and comic books. You know, now it's turned into like NFTs and, I don't know, things like grandma's old cocaine kit from the 1970s. You know what I'm saying? So,
I mean, what the fuck?
Apparently, a grandmother's cocaine snorting kit from the 1970s went viral after a family found it while cleaning. So, posting to Reddit, an account called H Moonviz shared a snap of a very smart looking leather pouch, complete with an array of drug paraphernalia. Captioning the image, a social media user explained, "My friend was cleaning out her grandma's belongings and found this old school cocaine kit from the 1970s because in the picture, the pouch contains a glass vial to hold the cocaine, which comes complete with a small silver spoon for sniffing scoops of the drug. There's also a razor blade used for cutting up lines, as well as a tube for sniffing larger quantities, you know, back like when Ron did it in the day, and a slice of agate stone to use as a surface. The discovery is most likely, well, no. If you're looking for a picture, for instance, hold on one second. Let me see if I can copy this image. Grandma's cocaine kit, they should destroy it and make an NFT out of it. I'm just saying, because everybody would want it. Oh, your files are too powerful. Go fuck yourself. Well, you'll just have to open the link and go see Grandma's cocaine kit yourself. Because, I mean, it is what it is. Nobody, wait, hold on. Maybe I can get it here. Let's try here. There's Grandma's cocaine kit. Yes! Oh, Ron beat me to the punch. You see, you say cocaine kit, and Ron's like on it like freaking, you know, white on cocaine. There you go, man. Thank you, Ron. Thank you for going ahead and sharing that wonderful picture of Grandma's old school cocaine kit, which we could just basically probably destroy and turn into an NFT. You know what I'm saying? And speaking of which, in the world of NFTs, things are, you know, everybody's doing art nowadays. Everybody wants to be the next millionaire. Everybody wants to be that person. And they all got to come up with a gimmick because, let's face it, right? Some of them are okay in looking. I mean, quite frankly, I don't get it. I don't collect NFT art. But other people, you know, they're always looking to go ahead and get some kind of like, stuff. You've got people who doesn't do some fantastic digital art. You've got psychedelic shit. And then, of course, you always got guys like this who, I don't know, they squirt paint with their eyes onto canvases and then destroy their art to turn them into NFTs. And that's when you got to ask yourself, dude, what are you fucking doing? That's right, kids. Squirting the fucking paint from his eyes onto the canvas. So Argentine artist Leandro Granado, known for his eye painting technique, has destroyed 5 of his works of art to create an NFT that only exists in the digital world. Why? because 9, all you fucking Canadian freaks over there are doing some weird shit. You and the Aussies. Why is it that you guys are doing this shit to yourselves? So using homemade explosive devices, he blew up 5 of his works that he valued at $70,000 to create NFTs. Let's just stop there. Bro, I could go ahead and sit there and, you know, eat the blue dye. Or why don't I participate in, like, the blue dye challenge over on like freaking, you know, TikTok, and I could shit a Smurf out and create some blue abstract art saying that I'm going through my own Pablo Picasso blue period, and I could value it at $70,000 myself. That doesn't fucking make it worth $70,000. You know what I'm saying there?
That's a scam.
Dude, it's what the fucking market says that it's worth, you fucking crazy nut job. At any rate, so he believed it was worth it.
Two out of these 3-5 works are already sold. Two are booked, and there's only one left to sell. This means that I have to start working on a second piece, and I'm thinking about how I'm going to destroy them.
Hey, Spanky, you want to know something? Yeah, scat painting NFT incoming. Tell me about it, Normok. It's only a matter of time. It's only a matter of time. I'll tell Canadians that that you, an American, think Canada equals Toronto. You know something, Nine? I plan on taking a trip to Canada one day, and I'm just going to let everybody know that I heard that Toronto is a representation. It's a microcosm of Canada. It captures and encapsulates everything I should expect. So I'm expecting big things in my visit. That's what I'll tell them. At any rate, so Spanky over here, let me tell you something. You're thinking of a great way to destroy them. I don't know. Why don't you just fucking pour some pool acid into your eyes, squirt that on a canvas, and like have it react and make some fucking weird shit. You know what I'm saying? Expect to die. You know something? Nine, I find myself surrounded by a lot of Canadians lately. And there's one in particular at this particular project I'm on. And I think she's the head of human resources. I think I'm going to let her know that Canada is such an awesome microcosm of, or excuse me, that Toronto is such an awesome microcosm, and the news coming out of it must be representative of Canada. And I'm going to go ahead and ask her for travel tips to go ahead and find places in Canada that she's lived in that just capture this kind of essence. And we'll see what happens. I'll bet you I'll still be alive. You know what I'm saying? I might not have a job anymore, but I'm sure I'll still be alive. But I digress. So, Spanky, what you need to do here is you need to go ahead and throw a little bit of, like, fucking pool acid in your eyes. Thin up that, like, paint a little bit, because clearly it's not, like, destroying your eyes enough. And try to squirt that stuff on the canvas. I mean, I'm kind of wondering, right? Does he, like, put the stuff inside his inner eyelids and, like, jam his finger down and smear it across the canvas? Or does he, like, squirt this stuff out of his, like, out of his little, like, tear ducts, so, you know, sort of like, I don't know, like little squeeze bottles, and spray paint and do like graffiti with his eyes? I gotta go ahead and see if I can find a video for this, because I'm not entirely sure that I believe this story.
That's a scam!
But I'll tell you what, if it's true, goddamn, man, I might buy an NFT just because. Just because. Am I gonna pay $70,000 for it?
How about new?
Fuck no, dude. Hey, I'll tell you what, I'll swap out your eye painting for, like, I don't know, two for one coupons from Arby's. I mean, that sounds to be like a fair exchange to me. I don't know. I'll have to go ahead and work it out, because as much as, you know, NFTs are all about money laundering and shit, I want to hang this shit up on my wall and sit there and say, yeah, some dude went blind for his art one day. No, he didn't masturbate until he went blind. He actually, like, poured some paint in his eyes and fucking smeared it all over the canvas, because you've got to collect that sort of stuff. That's like rare and one of a kind. You know what I'm saying? Yeah! All right, kids, it's time for a break here. It's holy shit, man. The show's almost done, and I've only gotten to like the third segment here. Do we want to hurry up over here? Or are we just going to keep on?
No.
Yeah, we'll just keep moseying along. All right, kids, I'm LP Faust. I'm your host, cultural attaché to the stars, ringmaster of the shit show this evening, and what a fucking shit show it's been. You're listening to Joculation. The clown will build you the ultimate fortress. Hey, kids, it's LP Faust, Joculation, Circle of Intimacy. Still kind of going strong over here, so yeah.
That's one of us. Google gobble, yeah. One of us. We accept that one of us. Google gobble, one of us. We accept that one of us.
I love it. Normok and Ron, we'll shoot you a bid, dude. We're going to go ahead and go over there and build you the fortress in the mountains that you're looking for. You will be your own Superman with your Fortress of Solitude there, LP. But, you know, hey, Ron, I wouldn't have any, like, internet connection and all that sort of stuff. Like, when you get through the Netherlands over here, you cannot get a signal for shit. And it's, like, on the way over into Rocky Mountain National Park. And when you're over in Rocky Mountain National Park, your cell phone, you better hope that your car don't bust. Because I'll tell you what, are there any fucking towers that will get your cell phone message, text, or otherwise delivered?
How about new?
Fuck no, man. When you're talking in the middle of no fucking where, you're talked in the middle of no fucking where. Which is what's kind of cool about it. It's the whole reason why I go out there. And, you know, one of my favorite places to go to is the Wild Basin Trail. So you get to go through true alpine wilderness. And, yeah, when you start hiking up the mountains, I would say some of the trails, what sucks is it's like a 20-degree incline. So we're not talking about just a 20-degree incline. We're talking a 20-degree incline at, like, fucking altitude, like 2 miles up. And you're just like, did you bring the oxygen? I mean, even for a person that lives over here. So it's a little bit fucking daunting. But do we want to sit here and talk about that? No, because I got like about 5 minutes. I mean, hold on a second. Do we want to talk about that?
How about new?
Hell no, because I got like about 5 minutes before I got to move into the next break here. Because otherwise, I'm not going to get all the material out there. So here I am sitting here one evening having a discussion with AMR. And we're talking about this new writing conference that thing that went ahead and came up. So she's doing NaNoWriMo, which is, if you're unaware of what it is, hey, listen, we should probably pimp this shit on like Hive, even though like nobody reads anything on Hive anymore. But the whole concept of it is that you're trying in the month of November to write a 50,000-word novel. So she participates in it every year. Listen, guys, my feeling is, go ahead and let's see if we can actually do something like this. Bring a writing contest back that people give a shit about. It would be cool to see Hive be something other than a transactional chain for like Splinterlands and occasionally like, you know, shit posting. That would be great, man, if we could actually get past it, if we could actually do that. Yes, BZ, it is National Novel Writing Month. So every year she participates in it. And yeah, we'll see what winds up coming from it. But definitely, guys, see if you can go ahead and join that. There's nothing better than having good shit to go ahead and read. Eggy stunt double will write erotica. You know something, Moon? It's funny that you should say that, because one of the subjects that came up was the different types of writing styles that are out there. So apparently one of the newest forms of erotica that have come out is what's termed a reverse harem. I've just discovered this. And the idea behind a reverse harem, as I'm sitting here having the conversation about what it is that it's a woman that has many male loves who apparently have no problem sharing her between each other. So my response is, oh, so it's a gangbang novel, right? And the answer, of course, was really fast to me.
How about new?
No, it's not about sex and all that stuff. So let me understand something, right? The book is erotica. There's a bunch of dudes, and they're all taking turns on this woman, correct? Well, not like that, but it's a gangbang book, right? No, it's erotica. Okay, let's just agree to disagree. So, in the event that you're interested, Moon, go check out some gangbang erotica. I'm sorry, refashioned and rebranded as... What did I just say it was? Reverse harems? Yeah, there you go. It's a gangbang thing. Just... I don't know, done in a different style, right? It doesn't have all those messy emotions like, you know, jealous dudes or dudes that don't want to go ahead and share or whatever. Yeah, look at this. Moon is committing this to memory, writing it on the back of her eyeballs so that it's like a meditative thing that she'll sleep with each night and go ahead and recall. Just listen. Moon, go into your local bookstore and say, hey, listen, I'm looking for the gangbang novels. Where are they at? And I'm sure they'll have no problem and say, hey, look, they're right over there, okay? So you don't even have to worry about that nonsense.
Did I make myself clear?
Uh-huh.
Because I am not going to write this shit down.
So there you go. Reverse harems, gangbang novels. You know how it goes. All right, kids. I got to go ahead and take a break here because we got a couple things we're going to do. We're going to go ahead and ease into some Richard Cheese here for a second. But we're actually going to close out that block right there with some Alice Cooper, because you can't do Halloween with Alice Cooper. And in this one, we're going to take a trip back to the 70s, to the good old days when Alice Cooper was like fucking raging on you know, cocaine and had some really fucked up songs in his album Welcome to My Nightmare, but it's also my favorite one. So we'll listen to Steven. I'm LP Faust. I'm your host, cultural attaché to the stars, ringmaster of the shit show this evening. You're listening to Joculation. You know, it's funny because with Alice Cooper, everybody is always talking about Billion Dollar Babes being his best album that he's ever put out. In my opinion, Welcome to My Nightmare is probably 100 times better than that. Like I said, in my opinion, but the subject matter in there is a whole lot darker. I mean, shit like Cold Ethel, you know, which is all about necrophilia, Steven, which is all about a psychotic break and a killer, you know, Only Women Bleed, which is all about a guy who's abusing his wife. I mean, there's some fucked up material in there, but the actual songs themselves are pretty fucking amazing. So yeah, I guess enough of that. Let's do the quick rundown, and then I got to run out of here. So, kids, when we were started on Joculation today, we started talking about Gabriel Petito. Well, hold on. First things first. Important dates to remember. We got to go ahead and with November coming up, it's all about Wolf Nude at first on November 23rd. Then we all got to go ahead and be pissed off that LP won't be here Friday, November 26th, because it's my birthday. And, you know, people have already made plans. But it's okay. We can feel better because on November 30th, we can all go ahead and drink a shitload of whiskey on St. Andrew's Day because he's the patron saint of whiskey. And you know what? If you were part of the like Circle of Intimacy, doing it right, you'd be doing it anyways. So, hey, kids, be sure to go ahead and keep that up. We started talking about, you know, everything Gabriel Petito, all these corpse fuckers that are making some money off of her, like Evan Bailey Syrian, which the murder mystery and makeup hostess on one of those like social networks and shit like that. Now we have TikTok psychics under fire for claiming to channel Gabby Petito's spirit and baseless killing theories about it. And were any of them right? I'm just curious.
How about new?
Not a single one, but who cares? They made money off of all the advertising and the autofill shit. So then on top of that, yeah, happy birthday, LP, you whiskey beast. Dude, I'm drinking my heritage. What do you want me to do? I can't be sitting here having like vodka. Get the fuck out of here with that shit. You know, that's where Ron's like, you know, like a traitor. And we talked about that corpse fucker, Dog the Bounty Hunter, joining in on the search, allegedly. And then on top of that, we talked about his fantastic fucking hotline. So if you'd like to spam the hotline, again, that's 833-TELL-DOG. Just 833-TELL-DOG. Go ahead and just dump a lot of shit inside there like they did with Rudy Giuliani's site, which was inundated with thousands of dick pics, animal pornography, and other awesome things, virulent screeds. And then on top of that, we talked about that fantastic drunk man who was allegedly missing. He joins his own search party, and when they call us Dave, they're like, who are we looking for? I'm right here. We talked about other corpse fuckers like Dana White, you know, Greg Hardy and fucking John Jones, all these fantastic people over here. Then we learned about this fantastic woman who goes ahead and does things like making beautiful jewelry out of you know, people's fucking teeth, ashes, and hair. And in some cases, even the fucking bullet that the person killed themselves with when they shot their brains out in front of everybody. And if you'd like to get that jewelry made, just be sure to go over and hit up her Grave Metallum Jewelry. You can get tooth rings and all kinds of stuff. Great holiday gifts. Things to go ahead and put under the Christmas tree for those wonderful Christmas surprises. Maybe some stocking stuffers in the event you couldn't go ahead and actually get to it. Then we talked about the fantastic in the next segment, that dweeb little Uzi and his 24 million diamond that he fucking shoved into his head and put inside of there. And that was ripped off by fans at the music festival. And guess what, kids? I ran out of time already for my recap. Can you believe that shit? Dude, I got to get this shit straightened
out. Did I make myself clear?
Uh-huh.
Because I am not going to write this shit down.
Maybe we'll do a sufficient recap next time, but I'll tell you what, I actually got to check out of here. To everybody that came out tonight, thanks for going ahead and joining me. Let's go ahead and join the laughs and all that sort of stuff. Appreciate all the support. Everybody that's out there, especially the people in India that are now starting to blow up my fucking feed over in my podcast, I appreciate it. Thanks very much. Love you. Love everything that you're doing. As William Shakespeare once said, all the world's a stage, is strut and fret across the stage of life. Always be sure to ask yourself, why watch the show when you can be the show? Kids, catch you next week. LP Faust checking out. Take care. Good night.
Thanks for checking out this episode of Joculation. We hope you enjoyed the episode and encourage you to join us for the live interactive social broadcast every Friday night, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Mountain Time. That's also 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. Eastern Time. To experience Joculation in its entirety, listen live on mspwaves.com or join the audience in the Circle of Intimacy on the Peace, Abundance, and Liberty Discord server every Friday night, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Mountain Time. That's also 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. Eastern Time. If you enjoy Joculation, I have another podcast you might like, Everyday Crazy. Search for them and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you're listening to this right now. If you're listening over a smartphone, tap or swipe over the cover art of the podcast. You'll find show notes which may include details you may have missed and links to my Twitter, Instagram, and Patreon pages. If you'd like to hear more of Joculation and other shows from LP, in addition to extra content, early access, merchandise, and other perks, you can subscribe to my Patreon. Just go to patreon.com/LPFaust. You can also find me on Twitter and Instagram. Please be sure to follow me on Twitter @FaustLP and Instagram @LPFaust. And thank you. Joculation is created, produced, hosted, and edited by me, LP Faust. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time.